Thanks for listening to Alt Latino. I want to remind you to check out one of NPR's other great podcasts, Bullseye with Jesse Thorne, your guide to what's cool in pop culture. Find Bullseye now at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. Okay, here we go. For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garz.
Okay, Jazz, it's that time of the year again, Valentine's Day. It's the one holiday that we have a love-hate relationship with.
Well, yeah, I'd say a little bit more hate. We always end up doing something about how awful Valentine's Day is.
I think you even called one show Valentine's Schmalentine's. So yeah. We tried something different this year. We sent Jasmine to New York to find love. Sort of.
So what I did was I sat down at Union Square Park in New York City, and I just asked people to come by and sit down with me and talk to me about their historias de amor, their great love stories. And to help me gather those stories, I called upon a friend of mine, Francisco Ramirez. He's a sex educator, and he works for many organizations, including the UN.
And people walk right up to you and told you their stories?
Yeah, believe it or not, we got some great stories. And I'm going to start us off with this woman. Her name is Maria. She told me and Francisco about her first slow dance.
So we're obviously collecting love stories.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So any love story, your greatest, your most memorable, your first?
I'm trying to think of, you know, what my greatest love. On one hand, it's going to be, you know, the boy who loved Pokemon as much as I did in middle school, and that was, I knew it was meant to be. It was a very, very strong bonding. He also asked me to dance with him at his bar mitzvah the next year.
Wait, there's so much going on. Tell me about the dance.
So where I grew up, a lot of people are Jewish, so seventh grade was bar and bat mitzvahs the whole time. So, you know, seventh grade is tough enough as is, but, you know, every weekend there's a party and either you're invited or you're not.
And tell me about yourself. Were you like popular? Not so much. Were you getting invited?
I was definitely a supremely weird kid. I thought I was going to be a Broadway star. I used to just listen to Broadway musicals like on the floor and be like, this is the greatest thing ever. Except then I'd take breaks for Celine Dion. So basically, yeah, I was super not cool.
Was this the 90s?
This was the early 2000s.
Okay, early 2000s.
Evita was
yeah.
Big too in my family because my mom is South American. So, you know, we saw ambiguously angry Antonio Banderas in that film all the time. All the time. To this day, I haven't seen it in a while, but I don't know what he was so mad about, but he was mad.
I'm going to tell you, it holds up, by the way.
Yeah.
It does. And his
anger. So does his face.
And his anger.
But this guy's bar mitzvah was the first one. So I didn't have any other under my belt, so to speak. I didn't know what I was doing.
And you liked him.
Oh my God, I was already in love with him. And
can we say his name?
Yes, his name is Zach. So I was in love with Zach. And I'd never been to a bar mitzvah before. So my mother was like, you know, you need to dress very well. You need to be, you know, you don't want to seem like underdressed. It'll be the end of the world. Latina Peruvian mother, it's the end of the world. So I show up for the service part because there's a service in the morning and then most people have the party at night. And I am dressed like someone from Little House on the Prairie, like a full wool skirt all the way to my knees, this big blouse and like a wool vest over it, while everyone else is just wearing like khakis and a regular shirt. And I am mortified. Like mortified at the entire thing because I look stupid in front of my peers, and not just do I look stupid in front of my peers, but I look stupid in front of my peers in front of the boy who I'm meant to be with for the rest of my life on the day that he is becoming a man.
I just want to ask about the wool skirt. Like, why did your mom make you wear a wool skirt?
My mom definitely has this thing of, you know, like, other people are looking and they're going to judge you and they're going to think this. And you know what? I think like some of it for her is really legitimate. She was an immigrant here. She came here when she was 17. You know, she is very used to being the other. So I think from that experience, you know, she wanted to really go the extra mile, like be conservative. You don't want to do anything that could potentially be offensive, especially in an important religious ceremony. But so I remember that, and I leave. I call my mother. I'm bawling. I'm just bawling in the car, just being like, I look like an idiot. I can't believe you made me wear this. I hate you. And my mom, when there was an argument, my mom always won. Always won. It was the one time, I think it was just such devastation. We went straight to a department store, and I got to pick out a new outfit for the night. So it was the boy that I loved. This is the dance, the night party was coming. So I was like, all right, I have a second chance. I can redeem myself.
So you were reborn like the phoenix. You came back like in the telenovelas. When she comes back and she's no longer poor and she's wearing a really, well, usually really cheesy dress.
Well, it's funny you should say that because what I picked out was an all velvet outfit. It was velvet, like silver leopard print pants. And a black velvet, like, cami, and then a little, like, silver velvet shawl. And I was like, I am ready. Like, he will be mine. Oh, yes.
So you need that outfit, by the way.
So you were, like, a sixth grade vixen.
No, I was very awkward and lumpy. I always kind of joke that I got breasts, like, when I was in fifth grade 11, but it's a very much, what's the Greek myth, Pygmalion? It's like someone made me out of clay, and nothing had really settled into where it was supposed to be, even though I had all the correct parts. So I was just this really lumpy creature that wanted to be loved so dearly.
So paint the picture for us.
So it's the first dance of the night. A few other girls, maybe it's cousin's family, they're just, you know, be like, oh, pick me. And I'm standing there quietly. And he's just like, Maria, would you like to dance? And I was like, absolutely. And Selena's Dreaming of You is the song that's playing.
It's too perfect.
I even, and he starts to pull me close, and I put my arms further away because my mother was like, always leave room for the Holy Ghost. So we're doing that. And, you know, in my, like, seventh grade, middle school, I'm just like, forget it, I'm gonna be wild. And I go in close, and we have our first slow dance with each other to Selena. And I still have like the journal entry from that night that's listing every boy I danced with, but most importantly, I danced with Zach, and I have like little doodles of us and stars everywhere. And I remember leaving being like, this is the best night of my life.
Late at night when all the world is sleeping, I stay up and think of you. And I wish on a star that somewhere you are thinking of me too. 'Cause I'm dreaming of you tonight till tomorrow.
Next, a story about the importance of first impressions and the joys of reconnecting.
My name is Myra.
I'm Brian.
So, where does your love story start?
In middle school, when we were 11 years old.
Where did you go to middle school?
We went to middle school in Albuquerque. It was our neighborhood school. We actually grew up in the same neighborhood. The first day we met, it was sixth grade, so it was so awkward. You know, everyone's coming into class the first day, and we're trying to get to know each other. And so the teacher actually assigned us a icebreaker activity, and what we had to do was we had to walk around the room and get signatures from 10 classmates. And so super simple activity, and I thought I would be clever and have a catchphrase as I was walking around collecting these names. And I would approach somebody, and I'd say, hi, my name is Myra. Will you be my friend and sign my paper? So I was trying to be a clever sixth grader. It's working flawlessly. So I'm getting people to sign this paper. And then I approach this guy, and his head's kind of like down on the desk, and he has a bad attitude. And so I go up to him, and I do the same drill. Hi, my name is Myra. Will you be my friend and sign this piece of paper? And he looks up at me and he says, I'm not your friend. I'm your worst nightmare. That's the first thing he ever said to me.
You have to remember, I was 11 years old. This was my game. This was how I thought you talked to a girl.
Did you think she was cute?
Yeah, I thought that she was cute.
Oh,
she
yeah,
was, I wanted to make an impression. I mean,
yeah, he made an impression.
I felt like it was, you know, more than anything, I wanted to be different, right? That's what I'm saying. I was 11. I hadn't, you know, I hadn't done much of anything else before. I didn't know it worked. But here's the thing. So we didn't start dating when we were 11.
Yeah.
You know, we first met when we were 11. Then we went our separate ways.
Then.
And then we were sort of, you know, saw each other around and got back together later. We went back and looked at our yearbooks from that year, our sixth grade yearbook. And she signed mine like, hey, Brian, have a great summer. Stay cool. You know, just sort of like the lame, like, you know, boilerplate
what?
That you put in. The same thing
that
everyone
was my
says.
Smooth move.
But I wrote in her yearbook, I put, hey, Myra, have a great summer. It looks like your worst nightmare turned out to be a pretty sweet dream.
I know.
Isn't and see, that was the thing. And then the other thing that this was right before we got together. You know, maybe a year or so, I called a friend of mine. He had just got a cell phone because this was, you know, whatever, like 1999 or something. So he just got a cell phone and he's like, oh, I'm out to dinner with Myra. And he turns to Myra and he's like, I'm talking to Brian Lucero. Do you know who he is? And immediately she's like, hey, I remember him.
He's my worst nightmare.
So see, I left an impression. I just planted the seed, and, you know, it just took a few years.
But. So that was decades later.
Yeah, well,
it was
so
like 10 years later,
We were in middle school together, and then we went to different high schools, and then he actually came to New York and studied here as an undergraduate, and I stayed in Albuquerque. And then that was when the phone call happened. I was like 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to be a fly on that bar where you guys met up again. Like, when you guys see each other, are you like, whoa, Brian Lucero got kind of hot?
Actually, he totally got hot when he went to Columbia, I have to admit, because I was like, wow, he's going to go somewhere, and that is my hookup.
I had New York City on my side. That was the thing that she was like, oh, now he's the guy who lives in New York. Like,
exactly.
Let me see about that.
Exactly. I think he introduced me to New York, and I fell in love with the city as much as I fell in love with him, of course.
I couldn't have sealed the deal without it, it's true.
Yeah, exactly.
The city is seductive.
It is. It absolutely is. And then we got married. And we got married, and we've been married actually 13 years together, 15. And when we got married, we actually took each other's names, so we combined our names together. So our names actually translates to moon and star.
Wait. Tell me what your full name is.
Luna Lucero. Yeah, so my name is Myra Luna. Yeah, so Moon. And then he's...
I'm Brian Lucero.
And so when we got together...
Star.
Yeah, so Moonstar.
I'm just going to use that line on somebody. I'm your worst nightmare.
I think it only works when you're 11. I think.
It's true, but she will never forget you. It's true.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm always interested because I work in sex. It's sort of my life, sex and dating relationships. And what is the glimmer, the thing that you sort of, the spark, what is it that you found in that moment when you, maybe back when you were 11 or when you reconnected, what was that thing that sort of drew you to each other?
For me, the spark is just that we can always talk to each other.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a big, big deal for me that it's like, no matter what, like we never get bored of talking to each other. You know what I mean? And that's not something that happens for me particularly.
Okay, now we gotta play this song for them. It's called La Luna y las Estrellas. It's by Los Sensotles and Andre Thierry. Okay, we're going to get back to these love stories, but first I want to remind you to check out NPR's Bullseye, a podcast featuring Jesse Thorne. You can download it at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. More music, more stories.
My name is Rebecca. I'm 20 years old. I am a dancer, so I was seeing this person back at home in Michigan for quite some time, but it was never super serious until one night he was over at my house. It was the middle of the night. My parents were in their room. I was in my room. They didn't know, obviously. I was in high school, and we were listening to music, and we were listening to Sigur Rós. We were laying in my bed, totally not touching each other, just kind of individually, which was really beautiful to me because we were still sharing the same moment. And he started talking about how he could picture me like laying in the middle of a field in this like almost like a concept video of what was happening. And he was saying how there were like these figurines and objects of my past that kind of make me who I am that he can see like floating around me. And it was so terrifyingly accurate that I started crying, and like I never really opened up that much to somebody. And this might be a little far out for some people, but that was the first time that I felt really comfortable with expressing myself through movement rather than through my words. And after he was telling me all this, I immediately stood up and I like looked at him and I was like, I'm sorry if this is weird, but I was like, I feel like this is my duty as a human being and like as an artist to do this. And I started dancing, like full out dancing, and it was all improv, and it was probably really sloppy and ugly, but it was really honest and raw, and I was still crying. It was pretty chaotic, and we were in the dark with only like one light on, and I could see his face, like his mouth was just open. He was kind of in awe by what was happening, as I was too. I've never done that before, and he kind of just took it all in. And then after the song ended, I just like looked at him and I was like, what just happened? And he was like, I don't know. And right then and there, he told me that he loved me, and he was like, I know that you're moving to New York, and he was like, I want you to be able to pursue your dreams and like do your own thing. And he was like, it's okay that you, if you don't love me back. And in that moment, I knew that I did love him. That was just a really important moment in my life, I feel. Think about that night? I do, a lot actually. Especially when I'm taking a dance class or something and people are like, stop trying to just look cool or do cool movements to be trendy or something. Like I always reflect back to that moment and know that if I can be as organic and naked as I was then, like I can do it there. Are you quite blown from my hometown, and He's an amazing human being. I've never met anybody else like him. A lot of people say that he's the guy version of me. So we're very similar in a lot of ways. He's very free-spirited, brilliant, so kind, and yeah, I don't know. I really don't have anything bad to say about him. I think there's a part of me that's always gonna love him, and I have no idea what time is going to bring. I just know right now in my life that I feel like I can't belong to somebody. But again, I don't know what will happen in time, but I know I do love him, I do. What is your name?
Elvin Francois.
Elvin Francois?
Yes.
That's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Where does your love story start?
I think it starts at the Ritz, a club in Hell's Kitchen. Yeah, yeah. It was the third floor we met. He was dancing with his friends. I tried to, like, holla, as it were. I got his, like, number, and we went on, like, dates after that.
Okay, back up. What is that club like? Like, describe it like a movie scene.
It's like you walk up to this building, you see this hustle and bustle of people, like, in the foyer, just crowded, just definitely something going on in there. But it's usually night, it's usually cigarettes, and it's on a block of other fancy restaurants, so it's kind of out of place. But it's a common place with cheap drinks and, like, dirty glasses that make your throat tickle. But it's home to many of a night, a good night of dancing, like sweaty shirtless on the ground floor. Like, second floor is more like, okay. But the third floor is where it's like a little more intimate, little clothes, a little more still dancy though. That's where we met.
Wait, I have to say, I never knew. I've been there many times. I didn't know there was a third floor. I'm so out the loop. How does this happen?
You're not invited to the third floor.
Yeah.
What, are you a dancer?
No, but I do like to dance. Like the Beyonce, obligatory fare, like that hip hop, you know, ratch stuff these days. But it was nice. It was nice.
So you go on a few dates with this guy. What's the first date like? What's he like?
He is very charming. He is a little shorter than me, but like very well spoken. Always has like a light in his eye. He's a well-dressed guy. He's in academia, does a little drag too, but not unless he's getting paid. and he's great. He's just a catch, and he's from the Caribbean, my age. We're a week apart. That's all that I can really say about Marlon.
What's his name?
Marlon.
So how long have you been dating him?
About 9 months, but that's officially. It's kind of a bit of a story. I asked for an open relationship, and then he said yes. But then, like a week later, I had sex with someone else. But then I called him, and I told him. He just sounded so, he said, okay. And I just felt horrible. It's just like, he shouldn't have to accept that. He's too awesome for that. And that was a Friday night, and then Saturday morning was still like a mess. So I like walked over to his house, and I just said, this can't be open anymore. It's closed, and it's been that way ever since.
But I just want, like, when you ask, you find someone you really like and you ask for an open relationship, is it about keeping your options open because you're not sure?
Sexually, yeah. Just for realistic purposes. It's like, we shouldn't set ourselves up to be monogamous. We're not built that way, but like, I say, like, give it a try. I think it's worth it. Like, there's a lot to lose now.
Can I ask, maybe this is unfair then, so feel free to not answer this, but what was it in the Ritz that caught your attention? What was the first thing that you noticed that got you?
He was, like, in the middle of everything, having fun, but not doing too much, and he had a really cute face. Yeah.
Is he Dominican?
Photogenic. No, he's Trinidadian. He's got that cocoa going on. And he's got style. He dresses like a ninja, but sometimes, like...
Is it too early to ask, are you in love?
Yeah, I am.
That's a beautiful story.
That's beautiful.
I don't think it was. It was very disjointed. But I had to come represent him. It's the one good, solid thing that's happened this year.
Have you had a hard year?
Yeah. There was a mass layoff. Then I have two other freelance jobs. I'm still, like, floating in the wind, but I still feel pretty good. It's been pretty miserable, but he's been down. I like that, too.
Well, it's hard to float in the wind when you got a rock.
Oh, what?
Since Elvin met Marlon in a club, we have to play some disco dance music for them. I chose Alex Anwanter, the king of Chilean disco. No tengo puesto un disfraz. Ni tengo miedo de los juicios. No te sientes como estrella en la luz de la presencia ajena. Siendo solo lo que soy, escondiendo lo que es real. Y aunque digan que es malo.
I really like this last story. It involves a game of chess and a woman who says, if you win the game, I'll go out with you.
What is your name?
TC.
So what do you do out here?
Well, basically I teach, tutor, and play chess.
Out here in Union Square?
Right in Union Square.
Did you meet your wife in Union Square?
Washington Park.
Tell me about that.
Well, I was very young at the time. I was about 19. I seen her playing chess. I asked, could I get next? She was like, yeah. She kicked my butt. Over and over and over. Belittled me. Made me feel like a little ant. There's guys around, all that, you know. Ooh, wow, all that stuff, you know. And that messed with my ego. Oh, man, I walked down with my head down. Now I got to go study. 3 years later, here I come again. Oh, the ass whooping wore off. Yes. But it's a new sheriff in town, though. I've been studying. And bam, beat his first game. Bam, beat the second game, third game. Does that office still stand? Yeah.
Where did you take her on that first date?
Can't say. I can't say.
Dinner, a movie?
None of that, nope. We didn't do that at that time. We're talking about in the 70s. Dinner and a movie? Oh, no. None of that. Dinner and a movie. There wasn't no dinner and a movie.
Would you say that the game of chess is similar to the game of love in a way?
No. Because what if you lose? That means you're losing in love? No. Some men and women go through that. They keep getting a different partner, a different partner, because they're looking for that. It's always right there in front of you. Just be natural. Be yourself. That person will pop up. Somewhere, somehow, someday, you're going to meet somebody. It's just going to happen. Next thing you know, you're falling in love.
While TC flags down another chess opponent, we want to thank you all for listening to our Valentine's Day show. And also, I want to remind you to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're NPR's Alt Latino. And Felix, listeners should write to us and share their amazing love stories. We can be reached at npr.org/altlatino.
I'm Felix Contreras.
And I am a very lovable Jasmine Garst.
This has been Alt Latino.